Welcome to Parents' Perspective. What we need here is a chef, moaned Kara, staring into the pantry, hands on her hips. Why don't you just put your feet up and rest for a bit? Her husband Brent suggested. Pregnant ladies should occasionally get time off. It would sure help if I either had less heartburn or more energy, Kara responded. As it is, just the thought of putting dinner together is overwhelming. I've got an idea. Brent peered into the refrigerator. How about if I whip up a nice veggie cheese omelet and throw some of this chili sauce on top? He emerged grinning with the jar of chili sauce in his hand. Kara felt her heartburn returning at just the mention of the chili sauce. Well, she began, that's a great idea, honey, but I better skip the sauce. And actually, she moved toward the fridge, I better see what kinds of cheeses we have that are okay for expectant moms. Boy, mused Brent, pulling out the frying pan. When you're pregnant, it probably takes 9 months just to figure out all the rules. From a parent's perspective, what should we know about nutrition for pregnancy? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guests are experts when it comes to how to eat when pregnant. Catherine Jones is a graduate of La Varenne Culinary School in France and a freelance food, health, and travel writer. She's also the author of Eating for Lower Cholesterol, and she's the mother of a son 9 and a daughter 12. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Catherine.
Thank you for having us today.
Roseanne Hudson is a perinatal nutritionist and registered dietitian at Inova Fairfax Hospital in Virginia. She counsels both high-risk patients and women experiencing healthy pregnancies. She's the mother of 2 daughters, ages 18 and 20. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Roseanne.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Together, Roseanne and Catherine have written Eating for Pregnancy, the Essential Nutrition Guide and Cookbook for Today's Mothers-to-Be. What would you say is the biggest myth about nutrition in pregnancy?
Well, I'd have to say there are several, as you know, but the one that comes to my mind first would be eating for two. You don't need to eat for two. You need to increase your calories, 300 calories a day, which if you're eating a healthy diet prior to pregnancy could be something as simple as a sandwich and a glass of milk. So to avoid excessive weight gain, we usually encourage that people do not think about that they're eating for two.
A sandwich and a glass of milk, meaning that's 300 calories?
Exactly.
Okay. Not that that's what you should have for your
whole day. That's 300 calories. An example.
Okay. All right. What about the women who are in their first trimester of pregnancy and forget the eating extra 300 calories? They can hardly eat at all because they're so nauseated, or maybe they're throwing up all the time. What do you tell them?
Well, we usually say that although nutrition is extremely important in the first trimester of pregnancy, which would be the first 14 weeks, it is not as important as staying hydrated. So what I usually recommend is that to avoid being dehydrated, which is the bigger problem for the first trimester of pregnancy, to eat what they can, trying to choose higher nutrient foods such as protein, calcium, but maintaining hydration at the same time with water, juice, popsicles, Italian ice, anything to keep from getting dehydrated.
What do you feel is the most important thing for expectant moms to remember about what they eat during pregnancy? We've sort of teased it a little bit with the business about the cheeses. There's a lot that has changed over the past few years that you can't eat this and you should eat that and you've got to watch the labels. And, you know, I think if I were pregnant now, I'd have a headache.
Yeah, there's a lot to remember. It can be very scary, actually, to a lot of women. All this information floating around, and you not only have to sift through it to find what's valid and what's not, but you need to make sense of it and apply it to your own life. And I think that's something that is a skill you're going to have to embrace when you have your own children and you're feeding your family. So learning to eat a healthy, balanced diet, including all the food groups, being aware of your nutrient intake is one thing. You know, protein, calcium, you shouldn't count it, I would say, but you should be aware of what you're eating and, you know, just try and follow a balanced, nutrient-dense diet without excessive calorie intake.
There seem to be so many don'ts, though, these days with regard to pregnant women's diets. Why is that the case?
As we get more skilled, as we have more research, as we do more studies, we learn new things. And I've been doing this for 30 years. And 30 years ago, we didn't tell women not to have deli meats. 30 years ago, we didn't tell them not to have fish. This has all evolved in the last 30 years. And honestly, even doing this book, Catherine and I have had to change some of the recommendations as we revise the second edition. We had to keep researching. So it does change and evolve all the time. So the don't list looks like it increases, you know, daily. But the do list also expands. As you'll see in the book, Catherine's done a great job researching healthy foods, choices that you can keep in your pantry, you know, foods that are already out there on the market, things that you can supplement your diet. You know, 30 years ago, we didn't have some of these vegetarian alternatives. We didn't know as much about soy proteins. We didn't know as much about DHA and omega-3 fatty acids, all the things that would be on the do list. And I know I'm rattling out a lot of words, but there are a lot of do's and a lot of don'ts now.
Well, where do the don'ts come from? I have three daughters-in-law, and at various times during their pregnancies, all of them have children, I've had to prepare food. And I always asked, because it seemed like an automatic thing to me to make a nice fish dinner with certain vegetables and other kinds of things. And then I would be told, well, I can't eat this kind of fish and I don't eat that kind of fish. And make sure you don't put any cheese on it because it might not be the right kind of cheese. What do those foods do to a pregnant woman that causes them to need to be avoided?
Well, as far as fish, our fish supply, although it's safe, has a higher content of methylmercury, or can have. So methylmercury poisoning or too much methylmercury isn't safe for young children and pregnant women. So the Food and Drug Administration, the USDA, everyone has come together doing studies, doing research to put a safety limit on that so that we can avoid any potential problems. Now, you have to remember, when you look at – and this is what I tell my patients. When you look at these guidelines, this is in a perfect world, in a perfect setting. No bells, no whistles, no alarms go off if you should have an extra serving of fish.
Are there certain kinds of fish that are okay?
The don't fish are the larger fish that live in the ocean for a longer time and accumulate the mercury in their own systems, which is what we then consume. And those are tilefish, swordfish, shark. So you want to avoid those fish. But you shouldn't rule out fish completely from your diet because it's an excellent source of protein and omega-3 fatty acids. For instance, wild salmon is a fabulous source of omega-3s. And canned salmon uses wild salmon. So we have a recipe in there for salmon cakes out of canned salmon, which is safe. You can eat light canned tuna, for instance. You can eat shrimp. You can eat a number of different fish, catfish. But you just want to avoid the large fish.
Except aren't tuna huge? Isn't salmon big?
But it's canned.
But in other words, so if somebody goes to a restaurant and they're pregnant, they shouldn't have fresh tuna or fresh salmon.
A fresh salmon is okay, not tuna.
Okay. What about flounder? That's big, too.
It's not necessarily just the size. It's large predatory fish because they eat the little fish. It's a very complicated
concept.
And that's why I tell pregnant women not to overthink some of it.
Yeah.
You know, you may be pregnant once, twice in your lifetime, and you want to enjoy it and not make yourself crazy. So most of these are the strictest guidelines possible, and I think people need to make sense out of it as far as not carrying it too far and making themselves crazy, you know, and too concerned. Eat within the guidelines and you should be fine.
All of my daughters-in-law like cheeses. I don't know what cheeses I can bring in my house or bring in their house to serve them during pregnancy.
Any pasteurized cheese.
Pasteurized is the key.
Yeah, I think the key words here are pasteurized and well done, especially for meats. If you want to avoid E. coli or salmonella or something, make sure, especially during pregnancy, that all of your meats are cooked to the well done stage. That's what I would say. I don't know how.
You know, it's not that the risks for pregnant women are any different than the risks for you if you ate raw hamburger and got E. coli. You would both have E. coli poisoning, but it's a problem for being pregnant. It's a problem for the baby. It's a problem to be that sick. So that's why we tell them to have cooked meat, Does that make sense? It's not like that it's causing a different disease in pregnancy. It's just that if a pregnant woman gets food poisoning, it's a bigger problem.
So the eggs should also be well done. You wouldn't want to eat a sunny side up or a soft boiled egg during pregnancy. You want to make sure that it's completely cooked.
Or a Caesar salad with
raw
eggs. Or
raw cookie dough.
Exactly. Or raw cookie dough, exactly.
Are there other food items that we should know about not to serve our daughters-in-law, daughters, or selves when pregnant?
Well, going back to the fish category, you want to stay away from any raw fish, of course, sushi and any of those things that you might find in a Japanese restaurant that are not fully cooked. But oyster bars and clams that are raw should definitely be avoided. Canned oysters are okay, and they're actually a good source of iron. But otherwise, stay away from the raw stuff.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on nutrition for pregnancy.
The popular new book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents, by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are talking with Catherine Jones and Roseanne Hudson about nutrition for pregnancy. So many expectant moms come home after a long workday, and they're too exhausted to be the chef. Any suggestions? That's what your whole book is about, practically.
Yeah, it's tough. Even if you're not pregnant, it's tough to come home and cook for a family. The best thing you can do is to keep a well-stocked fridge, plan ahead, and if you're cooking, cook more than you would, so you would have leftovers that you can either freeze or you can have the next day for lunch or for dinner, even if you combine them in a different way. Don't rule out buying semi-prepared foods if they're healthy. There are wonderful choices in the markets today. I go into Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, and other stores that are, you know, carry organic foods or foods that don't have trans fats and those that have sort of been vetted already to be healthy. And they have some wonderful products that you can buy and prepare quickly and add rice or pasta to, or throw in some shrimp for protein or some chicken. You can buy a roasted chicken and create different meals from that, whether it's adding it to a soup that you have already, vegetable soup that you want to get more protein. You can add the chicken to it, making fajitas, adding it to a salad, and things like that. So, you know, don't feel like you're not doing the right thing by buying semi-prepared or prepared foods, as long as you're making smart choices when you do that and you're not going for the fried stuff, the greasy stuff, and things like that, high-calorie foods that don't have much nutritional value. The crock pot is a wonderful tool, too. If you're working all day and you can get the crock pot going, or if somebody can come home a little earlier, your husband or spouse can come earlier and get it going. There are ways. It's tough. No matter what, it's tough. And if you eat out, that's okay, too.
And what about rules for eating out? I know that's another whole thing, because when you're pregnant and you're eating out, you think, okay, so what part of this list do I have to pay attention to? So all of a sudden, it's an issue.
Well, basically, you just want to choose as wisely as you can from the menu. You know, trying to get a complete protein of some kind. You know, if you have a choice between a pasta with an Alfredo sauce, possibly get, you know, baked chicken, vegetables, salads, you know, just a basic healthy meal when you're eating out, trying to avoid the high-calorie, high-fat foods, obviously no alcohol, depending on how late it is at night. And if you have a tendency for heartburn or indigestion, you would want to have a lower-fat item. Eating out in restaurants, you're going to get high-fat foods, even if you try not to usually. You know, they try somehow to put the fat in, even when you order it.
Why is that? Is it making—
Because it tastes better.
Oh.
We had one situation where the older siblings came to town and wanted to take out the younger one, youngest in our family, and they all are sushi fans. So they took them to the nicest sushi restaurant that they knew.
These are all grown-ups.
They're all grown-ups. And the younger couple were expecting a baby but hadn't told anyone yet. And so my daughter-in-law in that couple, my daughter-in-law said she was frantic. And she said, you know, I feel like eating teriyaki beef or something that she would never order when they go to a sushi restaurant. And my older daughter-in-law and older son looked at each other and they knew, but they didn't say a word because they had been there. They had done that. And so I think the more aware the rest of us are, the more we know secrets that people aren't ready to tell yet. When women are pregnant and they're vegetarians, what are some suggestions for their intake of protein?
Vegetarians, this is one of the myths, I would say, to be honest with you, is that they don't get a lot of protein. Because, in fact, if they are thoughtful and they follow a balanced diet, they can meet their protein quota. And I can just rattle off just a bunch of examples of foods and how much protein they contain. So you can just do the math yourself very quickly and you'll see that it adds up. Most pregnant women need between 60 and 71 grams of protein, depending on their size and their pre-pregnant weight. So just keep that in mind. Let's use 70 as a protein goal. So one hard-boiled egg is 13 grams. Half a cup of low-fat cottage cheese is 19 grams. Two mozzarella string cheese are 14 grams. Half a cup of kidney beans, 7 grams. Half a cup of roasted peanuts, 10 grams. One cup of low-fat yogurt, 13 grams. When you add those items up, which are nice snack foods and also could be fit into a meal, that is 76 grams of protein. So it is definitely doable, and it's nothing to be overly concerned about for vegetarians. Vegans might have a bit of a harder time because, of course, they've eliminated the dairy. So they would have to consume most likely more soy-based products, which is okay too. Nuts and seeds they would consume a lot of also. But you can see that, you know, it's not just meat that has protein. It's other food sources that actually contain quite a bit. But the other thing we need to talk about, if you're a vegetarian or a vegan and you do eliminate meat products from your diet or dairy and meat from your diet, is getting the adequate amounts of B12, zinc, and iron and other nutrients that, you know, are contained in high doses in those meat and dairy products. So they do need to make sure that they've covered those sources.
That sounds like a vitamin pill kind of thing.
It is. It's recommended that all pregnant women take a multivitamin with iron. And the studies have shown that if your diet is healthy and gets the amount of calories that you need, 2,000 calories might be an average amount, that you might not need a prenatal vitamin during pregnancy. But because we're not sure about how our intake might be, and we might have nausea and vomiting at the beginning of the pregnancy or various problems throughout, we recommend that they take a prenatal vitamin. And that does have a high amount of zinc and some of the
B12,
other nutrients,
yeah,
that you would need.
It's so common during pregnancy to feel full after eating very little or to suffer heartburn after an otherwise delicious meal. Are there any remedies or preventives that you would recommend?
Especially with multiples, heartburn and indigestion is a problem. And if women are on bed rest, it's difficult to digest food when you're lying down. But the biggest control of that would be to eat small, frequent meals throughout the day, lower fat foods. Fat takes 9 hours to digest. So if you're having problems digesting, then you would want to have lower fat foods, although you need fat for the baby's brain development, so you wouldn't want to make it fat-free. And not eating after 8 o'clock at night and sitting up or moving around after you eat, not lying down. Those are usually the tips to control heartburn.
Yeah, they're different.
Digestion.
Everyone's different, just like with nausea, and everyone has different remedies, I would say. The ones I would add to the list were to avoid caffeine if you're a coffee or tea drinker. Citrus fruits and juices have a lot of acid, as do certain gas-forming foods like cabbage, beans, things like that. They can produce heartburn as well. And, you know, going along with the propping yourself up is to wear loose clothing, bend at the knees, and things like that, so you don't have that full feeling of your stomach rising up.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on nutrition for pregnancy.
For an audio CD of any Parents Perspective show, send a check or money order for $15 with your name, mailing address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Catherine Jones and Roseanne Hudson about eating for pregnancy. Catherine, you had mentioned to us earlier that you had two very difficult pregnancies, and we know we have listeners going through probably some similar problems to yours. Could you talk about that just briefly?
Sure. The first thing I'd like to say to anyone experiencing a difficult pregnancy is hang in there. It's tough. Pregnancy is not 9 months of bliss, and the end result is a true miracle. So whatever your problem is, be sure to stay in close touch with your doctor or your nurse or your nutritionist, your diabetes specialist, whatever you're suffering from. With both of my pregnancies, I had pregnancy-induced hypertension. And with my first pregnancy, I'm not a candidate for that particular complication. I'm not overweight. I was young. My blood pressure is normally very low. And something happened. It's sort of an inexplicable disease, really, where my daughter was born early and she was born 6 weeks early and she only weighed 3 pounds, 11 ounces. I was on bed rest. I went through the ringer with various, you know, stress, anxiety, you name it. I didn't know what was going on. And then afterwards, she also developed some complications, which put her in the NICU for 2 months.
NICU being?
The neonatal intensive care unit. And so I'm a mother that writes this book from personal experience of hardship during pregnancy and extreme hardship after pregnancy. And I can tell you that is one reason why in the second edition I decided that we should include a more extensive section on breastfeeding, one on postpartum depression, which many women go through, and then on weight loss after that. I think what you have to learn as a mother is how to take care of yourself at the end of the day. And the 9 months later section of the book is to help the new mothers get back on their feet and reorganize their lives with this little baby now.
I wish that this had been around when I had my children. We unfortunately have to come to the end of our show at this point, but before we close, what resources would you two recommend for our listeners who want to do further research on nutrition and meals and so forth during pregnancy?
Of course, it's subjective, but I would recommend eating for pregnancy before, during, and after pregnancy. One, for the nutritional information that's applicable to pregnant women and to families in general. The recipes are all family-friendly. I have many friends who, after they deliver, keep this book in their kitchen and they cook from it. I honestly cook from it all the time. I also have a website, www.catherinejonescooks.com, and I have a blog on that site, which I try to update frequently, at least a couple times a month. And I'm bringing you some of the latest nutritional information there and recipes, either from my books or recipes that I've developed since writing them. The other great websites out there are things like NIH Medline Plus, Cleveland Clinic, March of Dimes, VRG.org for vegetarians. My advice is to go to the well-known websites, the trustworthy websites, Mayo Clinic, where the information comes from professionals. You want to avoid, you know, your random pregnancy website where the information is perhaps not as accurate or up to date as it could be. There are some good books out there for multiples, twins, triplets, and quads is a good one. I personally think the Mayo Clinic Guide to a Healthy Pregnancy is a fabulous resource. And what I wished I had when I was nursing my children is a book called Making More Milk. So we do cover nutrition and breastfeeding in our book, but if you need more information, The Breastfeeding Companion is another good book. It depends what you're looking for. There's so much garbage out there, you really have to sift through it, especially when it comes to your health, and not just for pregnancy, for anything. You know, don't go to a website and self-diagnose. It's very dangerous, and you don't know what you're getting yourself into in the end.
Well, you both have been wonderful resources together for Eating for Pregnancy, which is coincidentally the title of your book. And we are just delighted that you guys could come on and you could give us the latest information on nutrition during pregnancy. So Catherine Jones and Roseanne Hudson, thank you very much.
Thank you. It's our pleasure.
Thank you for having us.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of Eating for Pregnancy, the Essential Nutrition Guide and Cookbook for Today's Mothers-to-Be by Catherine Jones and Roseanne Hudson. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. And please spell anything that's not obvious. That's a big help to us. Mention show number 415 and tell us if you can what station you're tuning into.
Visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org, where you can even listen to a show of your choice. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. At the end of our program, we often thank individuals or organizations for their generous donations that help with the cost of producing Parents' Perspective programming. Parents' Perspective Incorporated is a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. Today it is our turn to thank you, our listeners, for your tax-deductible contributions to our annual fundraising campaign. Donations can be made online through GiveDirect or iGive.com or MissionFish at eBay. Or you can send checks or money orders to Parents Perspective Incorporated, Post Office Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015. Thank you for helping us continue to work for you. Our sound engineer is Elizabeth Buckle. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.